We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! Oh, it is. Please. The 9 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show here on a Football Friday, Canes Dolphins Friday. Dave Dwork from CBS4 is sitting by my side. He is the Nighthawk to my dragon.
Oh, sir.
You like that Step Brothers reference?
I love the Step Brothers reference. Did we just become best friends?
Yes. So, you know what's funny? Because that, like, I practically know that entire movie by heart. I've probably seen it 100 times in my life, and it came out in, like, 08. But I realized when I stumbled upon it, like, changing channels, movie channels, HBO Star, something like that, and I sat and watched, like, a half hour of it, and I realized, man, I haven't actually sat down and watched Step Brothers in... I'm going to say like 3 years, 2 years, 3 years.
No, like
something
sat down and watch it start to finish. With
sure.
The,
yeah, exactly.
Well, because who does that anymore? Everything is on TV. Everything is streaming.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I always catch movies when just flipping the channels, whether it's, something recent, Shawshank Redemption, nice throwback stuff.
I love that movie. Yeah. You know what? I haven't sat down and watched Shawshank in like probably 10 years.
Yeah, but I bet you watch bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, I have. But it's like one of those things, and like I always do that with Silence of the Lambs. Also, I'm sure that at some point I've watched Silence of the Lambs all the way through, probably 3-4 times in my life, maybe 5 times. But I've probably seen it in bits and pieces 70 times. It's the way that I watch that.
That's the millennial way of watching things.
Yeah, and like I also have a problem, especially during football season, because there's always something else I can be doing, like looking up articles, reading, setting my fantasy lineups. I have a problem even like when I'm not working. Like let's say it's a random day, I happen to have a few hours off or a day off. I have a hard time like just sitting and watching a show without also having to do something on the computer and
just
checking
Twitter.
Just
wait a few months, my friend. You're gonna have even less time.
Yeah, once I have a kid. Ooh, is there any good radio advice you can give me? I say something that can be disseminated pretty quickly in an entertaining fashion on what I have to expect from fatherhood.
Not really.
Will I be able to sleep? Like, how did that work for
it,
you?
It depends. Honestly, it depends on your wife because a lot of people. And I know my wife's listening, and I shouldn't be saying this, but a lot of people complain, obviously, about not getting enough sleep. And my wife has been really awesome about it for me. She lets me sleep. Because there's been plenty of times where I've said, no, wake me up, I'll help out, I'll do this. And, she'll just let me, she'd rather me wake up on my own, and I'm not waking up on my own, apparently.
I never do.
Yeah, well, so again, it depends on your wife. My wife has made it a pretty pleasant experience for me so far.
I think mine would probably do the same.
Yeah,
she would.
That's pretty reasonable.
Unless she like gets so fed up if like I'm never waking up, I think it may like push her over the edge, and then for a couple of nights she'll wake me up every 20 minutes. I think that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a couple of times where I woke up and pretended to still be asleep and kicked her in my sleep so she'd wake up, and that's definitely never happened.
That definitely sounds like a Dono type of movie.
There's the advice.
Yeah, something I wanted to talk to you about because you are a big Marlins backer. You follow the team very closely. You're a Marlins fan, and as am I, but I've definitely fallen out of love with the team just by natural causes, like dying a very natural death, my Marlins fandom, but I still cling to it a little bit. But this Giancarlo Stanton thing, this is a tough one for me. This guy wins National League MVP, 59 home runs. He's the face of the franchise. You know, he really, for, and yeah, there's not enough baseball fans in this area, at least not enough people who are actually showing up to games. Like, I think there are baseball fans, but maybe you root for other teams. You don't spend money on the product. But for those who are hardcore fans, Giancarlo Stanton is the face of that product. And now the idea that he is very likely going to get traded away, unless he's just so gangsta with that no trade clause that if they can't work out a deal with the Dodgers, he refuses to go somewhere. I mean, how does it sit with you, the idea that Giancarlo Stanton, coming off an MVP year, very likely not to be a Marlin next season?
I mean, it sucks. It's awful, but it's also not surprising whatsoever. It's been one, you know, dark cloud after another hovering over, you know, used to be Miami Gardens down the street from here, and now it's down in Little Havana.
Yeah.
It's just the way of the Marlins. And, you know, it's all those hardcore Marlins fans out there. You know, we've had this discussion before where it's comparing it to, it's like you're dating the one girl in town and she'll never put out. And you've got no one else to date because it's the only girl in town. And you keep going back to the well.
I like that.
And you're not getting anything in return. And Stanton almost got you there.
And that sounds like half the relationships I've been in, by the way.
Yeah, and with Stanton, and with that whole outfield. I mean, really, this season, that Marlins team was a decent pitching staff. Not even a good one.
Yeah.
A decent, decent pitching staff,
yeah,
away from being a legitimate playoff contender. Huh. For sure. And the fact that, and again, new ownership going to come in. It's their money. They can do what they want. Fine. You know, it is what it is. But they're close. They're a lot closer than a lot of people realize.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much that's considered. There's been a lot of discussions that have happened behind closed doors that we're not getting privy to because it's all new people. So all the media members that have those sources have probably lost a lot of their sources because of all the turnover, which is why we're not really getting a lot of insight into what's happening behind closed doors.
And the last thing that I see, an update from earlier tonight, the Giants have reportedly made a formal offer for Stanton and other teams to follow. Now, I think the Giants, that definitely meets the California criteria, the West Coast thing. Stanton is from that area. I think there are very few teams he would sign off on. I think the Giants and especially the Dodgers would be among them. So could definitely go somewhere.
Yeah. Again, you're going to get all your big players that are going to tip their hat into this and, you know, look into it and see what's going on. You've already heard about the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Right. He's vetoed a lot of these East Coast teams.
Yeah. Well, he's happy here in Miami.
Yeah.
He likes the low key coverage of the Marlins. He doesn't like being in the spotlight. Would he go into that spotlight to move back home? It seems that way. But again, he's kind of being pushed into a corner right now because for whatever reason, and God bless you, Giancarlo, for feeling this way, he wants to stay in Miami.
And I would love to see him veto every trade just out of spite, just to say, you know what, I love it here. You know, I'm the one with the power. You know, I know that it wasn't you guys, but the previous ownership group, when they signed me to this crazy contract, and I don't mean crazy in a bad way, I mean crazy like crazy money.
Ridiculous.
When they signed me to this ridiculous contract, they gave me a full no trade clause. I don't want to leave. Deal with it.
And normally I would say to a guy vetoing trades and pissing off ownership, that's bad business.
Yeah.
But who cares? Because he's signed for another 10 years.
That's right.
So, and it's a ridiculous, as you said, huge contract. So who cares if it's bad business? Because he's going to get paid.
Yeah, my currently unborn child is going to be like playing Little League by the time that guy's contract expires. He's going to be in the Little League World Series by that time. We got a taste test coming up. Dave has brought in something that hopefully will ignite my taste buds with splendor.
I'll tell you this. It's ignited millions of people's taste buds with splendor, and yet you may have never heard of it.
Oh, Turkish Delight?
No, man, because people have heard of Turkish Delight.
I don't know. I thought that was a great guess, though, because I feel like a lot of people haven't tried Turkish Delight.
Mm.
And then, of course, we always get this whenever I bring up the Marlins. And God bless you, because I understand where you're coming from, sir or madam. The Marlins are a disgusting joke. Why are you giving them airtime, a texter writes. Okay. Oh, wow. This is parenting advice right here. If your child goes to daycare, it's almost guaranteed he will get an ear infection. I had a ton of those.
Oh, my God.
I had a ton of those. When I was like, has your son ever had one of those?
No, luckily, Tyler stays home with my wife and she works from home.
Oh, nice.
So the only people that we make sick are each other.
But
no, it's funny that the texter said that because I actually just had a conversation with my father earlier tonight about the whole daycare thing. So don't want to do it. If possible, I love Tyler staying at home. Tyler's my son. I love that he stays at home with my wife. Eventually, he's going to have to go and communicate and interact with other humans.
Sure.
But, you know, for now, you know, I don't mind. It's cool. Daycare scares me.
I've decided, by the way, I know I made a joke about my kid playing Little League. I'm going to push my kid into soccer heavy. Like, when you see what these soccer players
are. You going to give him acting classes, too?
I don't know about that. Maybe.
For every time someone comes within a couple feet of him, he's got to make sure to sell that.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Now. Oh, I can give him those lessons at home. I've watched enough soccer. I think I can figure out how to teach the kid how to flop.
I feel like it's an important part of the game.
I've already ordered my unborn son, who's going to arrive in about 3 months. I've already ordered for him his first infant Inter Milan kit.
I'm surprised you haven't ordered him an infant-sized turnover chain.
Oh, if they make those, that's going to happen. By the way, Heat trying to close out what would be a big victory on the road in Washington. 89-88, Heat lead. Oh, step back three?
No, Heat are going to the foul line, up 1, 6.5 to go.
Excellent.
They might just pull this one out. They might have survived another crappy second half.
It'd be very nice. Yeah, they were up. What were they up, like 22 in this game? 26?
Something like that.
And they coughed.
You know something crazy? The Heat, I think this is their 15th game of the season, somewhere around there. They've only outscored their opponent in the second half once.
Oh, jeez.
Once.
Oh, my God. We got to get them like an anti-turnover chain with like how many turnovers James Johnson has had. Like take chains away from that guy when he turns it over. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on WQAM.
Here, Coach Mark Richt. This podcast is presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
Dilly, dilly.
There it is. Don Bailey Jr. with the it's dilly dilly, but he gave us.
You can't put the pause. There's no pause between dillies.
Dilly, dilly.
No.
I don't think he'd ever seen the commercial was the problem.
Welcome to the pit of misery. Dilly, dilly.
No, he did the accent. That was him trying to do an accent.
It was him trying to do the accent. Oh, my God. But by the way, I was just reading Matt Porter's Canes Virginia preview, and he does, you know, when Miami passes, when Miami runs, when Miami defends the pass defense, who has the edge. He gives Miami the edge in every category, including special teams and coaching. I'm expecting the Canes to win by at least 3 touchdowns tomorrow. Dave, do you have an official pick for tomorrow?
I'm going to go with the Canes.
That was very enthusiastic. I like you hadn't thought about it until right now.
I'm a scorned Miami sports fan. It's hard for me to completely buy into anything.
Don't be scorned.
Point.
Believe. The Canes are actually back, baby. Canes are good.
The Canes are back.
Canes are back. I'm declaring them back. Declaring them back.
All right. Welcome back.
So what snack did you bring in? So the hint that you gave me, the clue was, this is something millions of people have enjoyed.
Yes.
But I've probably never heard of.
I'm told this is the best-selling snack in Israel.
Really?
And it's something.
Shawarma.
Can I finish? Can I finish?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I finish?
Sorry.
No, my wife started buying it for our son because they're for kids, but adults eat them too. It's called Bamba. And they look like Cheetos, and they're like a peanut-based snack. They're super healthy. They're sold at like health food stores. And I have been like obsessively eating them ever since they've been introduced to my house. And to the point where I get yelled at because my kid's not getting them, but they're really good. So for our taste test of the week, that's what I'm giving you. So.
All right. Is it B-A-M-B-A?
Bamba.
Bamba. I'm looking at it right now. It looks good. Peanut snack.
Yeah, my wife grew up eating them as well.
Really?
And it's just been...
they do. They look like cheese puffs.
They look like cheese puffs, right? Cheesy puffs. Yeah, there you go. But they don't taste like cheese puffs.
Yeah, very subtle peanut flavor.
Remind me. I don't know if you ever remember ate peanut butter Captain Crunch.
Yeah, I do.
That's what it reminds me of.
It does taste like that. Yeah,
except with a just that end flavor. It's almost like a Cheez-It.
It's weird because when I first bit into it, I was expecting more of a knock me down type of flavor, on a cheese
very
puff.
Subtle.
Very subtle, but it's good.
Can you not see how you can just tear a bag like this little bag right here? It'll be gone in 2 minutes.
I'm gonna take
2 minutes.
One more of these,
dude. That's your bag.
Where can I find these?
I believe Whole Foods type stores.
So I don't have to go to Tel Aviv to get one.
No. I think the higher end stores, I imagine the kosher supermarkets would have them.
Okay.
Unsuspectingly yummy.
I'm into it. I like that. I appreciate that. You got off easy because if I had brought in the food, I was going to bring you ghost pepper chips that would have burned your mouth.
Why would you do that to me?
Because I like
at least I bring you
people.
Something that's tasty. I'm not going to bring you something that's going to have you run to the bathroom after the show.
Well, because I am practicing because Doug
Plagans. Speaking of shawarma.
Doug Plagans. Yeah, right. Doug Plagans and I. Bazinga. Doug Plagans and I are doing a one chip challenge sometime next week. So I'm preparing. I'm working my way up to that.
I hope that's going to be filmed.
It will be. And
Doug is going to demolish you. That guy's got a stomach made of concrete.
I don't know because he tells me he's not great with spice, and I am. So I think I've got a shot there.
I think
there.
He's probably being a little humble.
He might be a little. He's a humble guy, this Doug Plagans.
Yeah, so no, I'm gonna take Doug wearing the chip chain.
the Chip Shane. I'm going to give him a run, man. We're going to do that on the air next week. So I don't have the exact day yet, but make sure you tune in to this show for the One Chip Challenge with Doug Plagans and myself. Make sure you guys come and find me tomorrow. We'll be broadcasting at the Southgate at Hard Rock Stadium.
Will you be dressed, fully dressed again?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought it up because I want both you and Tito to hear this and the world. Here's the issue I have. So when I get home tonight, which is already pretty late, I'm on a time crunch, right? Because I need to prepare myself some dinner. I need to write a preview for the game tomorrow. And I need to get some sleep because I have a 6 a.m. wake-up call staring me right down the face right now.
Well, you got a snack to eat on the way home.
I do. But here's the thing. I haven't washed the jersey that I wore last week. I think I may just let it ride.
I mean, it's not like you actually played in the game.
No, I did sweat in it, though.
Yeah, I mean, dude, just douse yourself with some Febreze, Lysol, Axe, you know?
I'm going to do that. So just so you know, like, if you come and see me tomorrow, I'm going to be wearing the full gear, full pads, the same jersey I wore last week for good luck, because obviously I'm the reason why Miami beat Notre Dame, so I have to let it ride. But if you get too close to me, you may be heading for Z Hills because it may not smell that great. But I'm just letting you know because the odds that I do, because I have to write, I have to do some final preparations for the game broadcast. I've got to sleep. I've got to eat. The idea of me doing laundry tonight, very slim.
You don't need to smell good to go on the radio, my friend.
That's the quote.
You don't even need to look good to go on the radio.
Well, I've already got that
covered.
Look
around this building.
I've already got that covered. Oh, man. We're going to talk some Dolphins with Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You're listening to the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560
WQAM.
Dilly dilly.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
With Omar Kelly, the segment is brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Now, this is how it's done. Omar joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. You know, Omar, I've been getting great football on Saturdays, not so great football on Sundays. Could this weekend be the turnaround for Sundays?
I don't know if it'll be the turnaround. I can't make any promises because from what I get with the odds makers, this is a pick'em game, and that's exactly how I could see it. To me, it's really going to come down to who is more motivated. Tampa Bay, there's no saving their season, but the only way to save the Dolphins season and to preserve the chance to have a above 500 record and to keep your playoff hopes alive, in my mind, is to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, in my mind, the formula to get to 9 wins is you clearly have to win 5 of your last 7 games.
Yeah.
Then, you know, okay, let's look at what's left on the slate. 2 against the Patriots, you know how that's going to end. At the best, you split that. If you're lucky. You got to sweep the Bills. You already know that's going to be a challenge, going to be nearly difficult to do, especially considering that game is going to be played in December up in Buffalo. And then you got to beat Denver at home, which, you know, is a little bit doable. They're cold right now, but keep in mind that Vance Joseph, your former defensive coordinator, knows his personnel probably just as good as you do, especially the defensive side. He knows every strength and weakness of these defensive players, and then he's very familiar with the offensive players and what to do to take them out of the game because he's been here. And then Kansas City, beating Kansas City at the end of the year, maybe they'll be playing for something. Maybe they'll be playing for seeding. So certainly to think that they won't be motivated to finish strong, you're delusional. So 5, to get to 5, it requires you beating Tampa Bay.
You know, Omar, a few weeks ago, we were talking about how poor the offense was playing, but how great the defense was. Now the offense is playing better, not great, but better, and the defense is tanking. Is this about that lack of communication that Gase has been talking about this week?
I don't think it's I disagree with you, and I don't think it's fair for you to say that they're tanking. And you know the level of respect that I have for you, Dono. You're out there with me every day.
You can tell like it is, man. Well, listen, if I go based on the Carolina game where they gave up 294 rushing yards, maybe I was overjudging that performance.
Okay. Carolina is a very difficult game to judge it based on because they present horrible matchup problems for this Dolphins defense. defense. I mean, this defense is built on everybody spying. This defense is built on everybody playing in coverage, not one man spying and then everybody else playing in coverage. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you have to have a spy, you're taking away what this defense does well. Mm. Now, that is what is challenging itself. Okay, we already saw how that played out. You know, I'm not even factoring in Cam Newton's big run. It's just a very difficult assignment. McCaffrey is a bad matchup for every team in the NFL, not just Kiko Alonso. So, the guy leads the team in receptions for a reason. He's scored, I believe he's like, four touchdowns for a reason, and he barely ever plays. Clearly, he's a mismatch weapon. He's the new Reggie Bush of the NFL. So, it presents a challenge. So I think that was just a bad matchup. Now, Baltimore, they got ran over by Alex Collins, which was a very good, back, I thought, coming out of the draft process. I'm surprised that nobody agreed with me, but hey, to each his own. You know, these people, there's a lot of them are fraudulent with their evaluations anyway, so it is what it is. Oakland, you had some problems with Jared Cook, but that was kind of a magical game. You were kind of in it. The refs helped them out, a little bit. Saved Oakland season. This is a franchise that's homeless for the next 3 years. You're trying to do them a solid.
I love the way you painted that one. throw them a bone,
Yeah, I don't. This is, people can say whatever they want about the NFL, but I know that's how it works. I've covered the league long enough. They want every team to be relevant. And sometimes the refs got to help you out a little bit. Like that Rashad Jones, come on, man. Come on. That Rashad Jones ticky-tack.
Oh, yeah, I hated that.
I mean, that gave the game away. That one play gave the game away. And, it was still a close, tightly contested fourth quarter. They need a third down stop to keep them out of the red zone. And this, how many times have we seen this Dolphins defense get a third down stop to keep a team out of the red zone? It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. That's how they got most of their victories the last 2 years. So I can't say that the defense, yes, at a certain point in that game, they started pressing. And when they start pressing, people are trying too hard to do too many things, and then people are out of position. That's uncharacteristic for this team. That happened one game out of nine this year. So I can't sit here and say, man, this is such a problem. I don't know how they're going to overcome it. It happened. Trust me, I've watched Dolphins defense where that happened all season. That happened one game. What I think is happening on defense is that they're injured players. You got three of your top five defensive linemen injured, and playing injured. Andre Branch, William Hayes, and Dominican Sue. What do all three of those guys do better than everybody else on the line? They stop the run. What have you really fallen off with?
Stopping
the run. There's no coincidence to me. I've covered the NFL long enough to know this is a league of nutrition. It's survivors. The team that has the deepest roster or the best quarterback in November, December is the team that thrives. I've seen it's got to be like six or seven seasons now where the Buffalo Bills start the season hot and then fizzle in November, December because they have no depth because nobody wants to play in Buffalo. So no free agents ever go there. So when they start to take on injuries and young players have to play, they make young player mistakes. That's the history of the Buffalo Bills franchise since Jim Kelly left. The Dolphins season last year, they made their season because young players stepped up and played well, and they played clutch. Now, what's going to have to happen now is that in this stretch of games, guys are either going to have to get healed up or young players are going to have to step up and play well. Am I optimistic that either of those two things will happen? Probably not. But, hey, they still got a puncher's chance.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Omar, Tampa Bay this weekend. I have noticed, and I'm surprised, and I'm not throwing shade here, but I am surprised that we haven't heard from Miko very much because I really thought that would be a fun part of this buildup, would be some tweets. and I'm being honest there. I'm not trolling. I was hoping for more, and we haven't had much.
Me and her did a podcast together,
I gotta hear that. Wow, you gotta link me to that.
She threw some shade. you know, we got into what people have to realize about that situation is, I'll just break it down for you. Dolphins were dissing Brent because they were trying to shake him down to take a pay cut. Brent was like, screw you, I'm not taking a pay cut, release me. It was a stare down for forever. Miko was basically like, okay, you don't want to release you. I'm going to ensure you that you're not going to shake down my man. I'm going to ensure that you're going to release him by acting like a booty hole. And she did that. She did that. You know, Brent wanted his release. Brent gave her the okay to act like a booty hole. She acted like a booty hole. And then when it came to it, the decision, the Dolphins were still like, oh, you know what, Brent, we still think you could play. We just think you should take a pay cut. And Brent was like, no, cut me. And then they were like, okay, well, Brent, we're not going to cut you. We're going to trade you. And, you know, Carolina, the Cardinals, because this is a team, and understand that I've seen all of the texts for all of this.
Oh, wow.
So people can't sit here and say that I'm lying. I've seen all of the texts for all of it. And they tried to trade him to Carolina. Carolina talked to him. He considered it. Brent said, and then Carolina was like, well, Brent, we're going to need you to take a pay cut. Brent was like, screw that. Cut me. I would rather have control of my situation and not let the Dolphins get anything for me, as opposed to me taking a pay cut because you say I need to take a pay cut when I know I'm still a good player. But cut me and let me go to the highest bidder or be able to pick my situation. And ultimately, the Dolphins came back after Carolina said, we're out. Dolphins came back and said, you know what, Brent, we've reconsidered our situation. We're gonna keep you for your same salary. And Brent was like, no, not Brent. Brent and Miko was like, damage done. We're not playing for you. Cut us.
Wow.
And which is why it took forever. Because remember, when I wrote the story that this was going on, the Dolphins were gonna release him, it took them like 5 days.
Yeah.
Or 4 days. And this is what was all going down in the backdrop. Anybody who can say that it didn't, trust me, Miko's got receipts. So you go ahead and you challenge it and embarrass yourself. And ultimately, the Dolphins decided, you know what, we can't bring him back because too much damage in this relationship has been done. The player does not trust the organization anymore. We got to move on. And that's the honest-to-God truth about what happened.
Are Brent and Miko happy in Tampa?
No, because Brent's not winning.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Yeah, you're right. It is hard to be happy when you're in a losing situation.
Yeah, no. I mean, they were happy before they started winning, and you know how the season plays out. Things, injuries happen, and people fall short of expectation. Brent's battled a couple of injuries this season and played through it. And, you know, Brent's been flirting with retirement for a couple of years now. Miko keeps pushing him to play. She's not going to push him anymore to play. So if he wants to play after the season, he'll play. If he doesn't want to play, he'll go into retirement. Brent doesn't play for money. So, you know, right now I think Brent wants to find a situation where he's going to win and going to enjoy himself. And that just hasn't happened for the last couple of years. I think he had fun last year in Tampa Bay, but they didn't make it to the playoffs.
Right.
But you know, Brent just wants, and you've covered NFL players long enough to know the nasty side of the business. You've seen it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You've seen it. You've seen Brandon Albert, same situation.
Yeah.
You know, you see it. The what players appreciate about me is that I don't sit here and side with the team and
right.
advocate what the team wants. I know ultimately in the end in the NFL, you know who gets screwed 98% of the time?
The players.
It's the players. So somebody has to advocate for them, and that's what I do. Like, if a player doesn't deserve the money that he's going to get, I'm not shy about saying that. But has you paid Byron Maxwell more than Brent Grimes was under contract for? How did that pan out for you?
not too well, but you did get Kiko in that trade, which is working out a little better.
You could have got Kiko in a trade on its own.
Are you sure, though? Well, what do you know
Absolutely.
About that? Because I had thought that that Kiko's the guy
yes.
that they wanted, but Brent would, but
yes,
but Maxwell was the throw-in.
you could have sweetened. They wanted the draft pick, the higher draft pick, so they could move up to get Carson Wentz. You could have given them that. You could have given them that draft pick and given them something else other than taking Byron Maxwell's bad contract. You chose to take Byron Maxwell's bad contract. Yeah, Byron Maxwell failed a physical. I was screaming from the mountaintop it was a bad contract.
Yeah,
don't do this. And they did it anyway. And you knew it was a bad contract. You knew he was an overrated player. Not even overrated player, but being paid twice what he was worth. And you accepted that contract anyway. And now, don't sit here and have revisionist history. You sold him as a player who was going to be as good as Brent Grimes.
Yeah, press man, physical corner. He's going to make this team better.
Mm-hmm. How did that pan out for you?
No, not too well. It turns out he didn't even want to play press man when they asked him to. He wanted to just drop back and relax.
That's what they tell you. I don't know if that's the truth. But go ahead, yes. Continue.
Well, now I don't know what to think.
Yeah, I mean, he's in Seattle right now. If he resurrects his career in Seattle, we'll know there's some. I mean, let's be real about this. Byron Maxwell knew the situation to begin with. They were going to cut him eventually. They were already angling to put Cordarrelle Patterson on the field. Was he always doing what he was told to do? No. But what player? Does Ndamukong Suh always do what he's told to do?
I would think not.
Not to say that.
But I would imagine when Ndamukong Suh is freelancing, good things are happening. Unlike Byron Maxwell.
Sometimes it wasn't happening against Carolina, was it?
No, that's fair.
So obviously that was his worst game I think he's played as a Dolphin ever.
Might be his worst game ever, period.
It could be. I would think one of those Aaron Rodgers stomp games probably was a pretty bad one.
I like that, though. Be aggressive, man. Make that quarterback remember you. Leave that footprint in his face.
You made me laugh on that one.
Well, I wanted to ask you
a quarterback.
I wanted to ask you a couple more things here, Omar. First of all, and obviously the Dolphins and the Bucs are in this same situation because they both, you know, they had to take their bye week 1 mm-hmm. because of Irma. But from the Dolphins side of things, not having a bye week, is that realistically, could that hurt this team or is it overplayed? Is that narrative overplayed by fans and media?
At this point, it's overplayed. They've snuck in enough rest days to make up the equivalent of the bye week. Still have a 4-5 record or whatever they are today. 4-5, yeah, I think they're 4-5, yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad when I don't know the record, right?
Well, I mean, listen, when you have a record that average in vanilla, it's easy to forget. Oh, is it 4-5, 4-6, 5-4? No, it's 4-5.
Mm-hmm. I know it's 3 embarrassing games, or 4 embarrassing games on national television. They've snuck in enough days, and I could tell you at this point in the season, the Dolphins are relatively healthy as I've seen them in a long time for a team that's played 9 games. And I'm not counting the injuries that they lost before the season even started in Ryan Tannehill or Raekwon McMillan. But outside of Juwan James, I don't think they've lost a starter for the year. And, Nate Allen, which I guess if you consider him a starter.
Right. Like T.J. McDonald was kind of the real starter, just suspended for the first half of the year.
Yeah. I don't consider, like, Juwan James and Nate Allen, okay. Like, you know, think about the laundry. And, yes, you got the Ryan Tannehill in there. I think Raekwon McMillan, hell, you traded Jay Ajayi. So I'm not going to sit here and say you haven't lost important players, but some of those were on you. But from an injury standpoint, they're not healthy, but I'm pretty sure they're a little bit better than most teams in the NFL that they're playing. I mean, Tampa Bay's got their own share of injuries. And are guys hurt and banged up? Absolutely. Kiko Alonso told me this week there isn't a single player who's played 9 games who doesn't have something that really hurts. That's just the nature of the sport. But I think they're, from my comparative sake, in mid-November, are they healthier than they were last year? Absolutely. No question about it. So I don't make an excuse that, the Blues in the bye week has drastically negatively impacted them or guys are playing on dead legs. I think the defense has the potential. Defense is probably playing on dead legs from the standpoint that their snap count has been heavily because of the offense's ineptness.
That's true.
So I would say that's, to me, more of a factor than the fact that you had a bye week in week 1. Lawrence Timmons barely played. I'm trying to think of anybody else wear and tear. Rashadi's got the shoulder injury now, but, you know, he's making it. He's surviving. Mike Pouncey, I'm concerned about Mike.
Yeah.
He's back to practicing every day. I don't really know how I feel about that. I think Mike is a very good player when he's healthy. When he's not healthy, he's not a very good player. So, but health-wise, I think they should be good.
What about Devontae Parker?
You know, I was talking about this earlier in the morning when I was doing the morning show. And I know you were there and everybody got their little woody because, you know, the coaches were like, oh, we're still waiting for him to be this alpha dominant receiver.
That's actually a good Clyde Christensen impersonation. I'm thinking that's what you're doing there. And it's actually pretty good.
I should pull it out more often. And it kind of got me bothered and upset. You can't give us something to chew on, and we're not going to take it. And I was very disappointed in the coaches that they gave us something to chew on trying to motivate Devontae. But if you extrapolate what Devontae has done in the four games and one series that he's played this season, he's averaging 7 receptions per game and something like 75 yards. Hmm. You extrapolate that to an entire season, and I believe he's like, I forget what the numbers are, but it's like 80-something receptions and 1,200 yards. So if he's healthy, that's what he would be on pace at, just being what people are considering average. Since when is 1,200 yards an average season for a receiver?
It's not. No, it's not at all.
So everybody needs to shut the hell up.
I love it.
The guy's hurt.
Yes, I love it. To build on what you're saying, I did think it was kind of peculiar yesterday when
Gase and Clyde Christensen criticized. You're there all week. Do they criticize anybody?
No, and that's something I wanted to ask you about, because one of the ways that this year feels different from last year was, like, last year Vance Joseph especially, but also Gase, they put a lot of guys, defensive players, on blast. Whereas this year the only guy they seem to criticize is Devontae Parker. And Jay Ajayi before they traded him. But Devontae Parker.
Jay Ajayi after they traded him.
So they criticized the guy they traded.
Before they traded him, Jay Ajayi couldn't do any wrong.
Right.
After they traded him, oh, he's the reason that we suck on offense. Like, come on, man. And I'm from a like last year, everything was, that's my bad. I'm accountable for that. Like, I need to do better. And that came from Gase, and then everybody else raised their hand and it set the tone. This year, it's about pacifying everybody. And then the two people that you throw under the bus are Jay Ajayi after you trade him, which is fine. I don't know what the inner workings. And then Devontae Parker, who had a bad ankle sprain that you prevented from playing for 3 weeks, and who admitted he's still not completely healthy from the ankle sprain. And as I've said a billion times, I don't feel comfortable with a receiver playing with a bad ankle, because they can't run good routes. They can't run sharp routes. They can't run deceptive routes. They can't sharply cut. And so now it's Devontae Parker's fault that he's injured, right? That's what you're saying?
And that's kind of what they were saying all last year, too.
Yeah. I mean, you can call him soft. You can say he's fragile. You can say all this kind of stuff. But is he doing the best that he can? And he didn't choose to sprain his ankle, did he?
I wouldn't think so. I got to get one more thing in here before, because we're running late, but I need to get one more thing in here. I want your prediction for Dolphins-Bucks, because you'd mentioned pick'em game. You know, it's certainly not a game I would put money on if I had money to bet. How do you expect Sunday to play out?
I think the Dolphins will be the more desperate team. I think when you look at what they've done at home in the games that they have played at Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins are averaging 23.6 points on offense. To me, that's a good formula for a victory and a recipe for success, especially against a Bucs offense that's struggling and that's starting Ryan Fitzpatrick. Not that Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't beat the snot out of you a couple times, but I'm going with the Dolphins from this standpoint. I think their offense is okay at home. It's putrid on the road, but okay at home. And that's all this defense needs after embarrassing themselves last week.
He is Omar Kelly. You can check out his work at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You can follow him on Twitter at Omar Kelly. And this segment is brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done. Omar, great stuff today, my man. This was a lot of fun. We'll do it again next week.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.